My name is Brian Elba. I've not been in the Peace Corps. I have nothing to disclose. So let me just back up and say a little bit about what I'm going to talk about, and it's very different than what you heard already. I'm going to talk about an intervention that we did actually in a fast food restaurant to nudge or encourage consumers to eat fewer calories at these places. And so, you know, the basic background here is that you all are sitting here and you know that one of the best ways we think now to influence obesity is to, in the States at least, is to change the food environment, and do that you need public policy for the most part, and that's what you've been hearing quite a lot about. One of the, I think, first forays into this, not the first, but one of the first, particularly on a larger scale, now that it's happening nationally, was to look at the how labeling calories in fast food restaurants would work. We've done some work on this, others have. I think the evidence is quite mixed and not fully out yet. These are very new studies, but at a minimum, it's going to have very limited effectiveness in changing obesity on a large scale, at least in the shorter term. And so our thinking is maybe we need to look at some other interventions. And maybe we need to look at things that really influence behavioral economics. And I'll just say a little bit about what that is. And this is the idea that consumers are not all-knowing and all-rational. And the idea is that many times they cannot, in the short term, with many competing demands, make the best choice in their long-term self-interest, and in fact succumb to visceral urges. And the idea is that if we can change the food environment to nudge or encourage people to make better choices, this could be a particularly effective solution to decreasing calorie consumption and hopefully increasing healthfulness of choice and dealing with obesity on a larger scale. So one thing we looked at was particularly targeting portion size here. So there's a lot of work that others have done on portion distortion and how people and how portions have been increasing quite dramatically throughout the years, and how we really hardwire, particularly Brian Wansink's work, to eat whatever is in front of us at any one time. And so the idea is that if we can really target this portion size stuff, we can maybe help with that. Moreover, if we can somehow prompt people to have a little self-control when they're doing this, no one, you know, again, everyone wants to start a diet, they just want to start it tomorrow. And so if we can somehow take that into account and give people a little bit of encouragement or nudge at the actual point of purchase, that might be better. So what we tried to do is get consumers to downsize their fast food meals. So this is, again, quite different from what you've seen before, is would you like to upsize that? Would you like to supersize that? We asked them if they'd like to downsize this. So we actually went into an Asian-style fast food restaurant at the encouragement and in coordination with the management there. And this was an Asian-style big chain fast food restaurant located on a college campus in the South near a medical center. It's an actual field experiment. And we did three studies there. The first one was, would customers downsize their meal with a nudge, with their encouragement, and I'll explain what that nudge is, either with or without a small, very small financial incentive. The second one is, how does this work compared to calorie labeling? So we actually implemented, not we, the university as a whole implemented calorie labeling, and so the restaurant did that, and we tried our experiment again and looked at how well it worked with and without calorie labeling and how well this nudge worked relative to calorie labeling. And then the third study, we just did a little more detailed methodological work to see, are consumers actually ordering less, or are they really eating less food as well? So how does ordering a meal work at this particular fast food restaurant? So first thing you do is you order your meal size. I want a large, I want two entrees and a side dish, whatever it might be. But then the next thing you do is you order your side dish. So you say, I'm going to have the two entree and a side meal. You order your side dish, and then you go and you order your entrees, whatever it is. And so then you pay. So what we said is, how our nudge worked is when they were ordering their side dish, we said, would you like to cut more than 200 calories from your meal by taking a half portion of your side dish? And by we, I mean the actual restaurant staff did this. We trained them, they did it for us, they're coming through the line. If they ordered anything but the mixed veggies, we said, would you like to cut more than 2,000 calories from your meal by taking a half portion of the side dish? And so we first did this in the summer of 2009 and ended about just under 300. We have individuals' receipts on everyone that came at this time. And so we looked at, what side dishes did they get? What entree or entrees did they get? Did they downsize their meal? A largely male population at this particular fast food restaurant. This was in the summer, so it was a largely non-student population. It was a lot of workers that worked in the hospital and on the university more generally. And so what did we find? So on a Monday and Tuesday, we just collected data. We didn't do anything. On a Wednesday and Thursday, we asked the downsizing condition just by itself. We went back to baseline on Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday and Thursday, we said, would you like to downsize your meal, and we'll take a quarter off of it. So what did we find? We found that When we're just doing, when we're not intervening at all, only about 1% of the population asks for any sort of half portion of their side dish, right? So consumers could always do this, right? They could ask for a half portion themselves. Some of you might do this. Essentially, no one does at this place. When we asked them, would you like to download it? Just over about a third of people said yes. So 35% of people said, yes, I would like to do that. We go back to baseline, essentially no one again. We say, would you like to do it? We'll take a quarter off your meal. About the same amount said they would do it, right? It didn't go up, it didn't go down. It's a small, it's a very nominal sort of nominal sort of amount, but you know, no change there. So what we found is that, remember, when you take this nudge, you're saving 200 calories on the number of calories purchased, right? And we noticed there wasn't any difference across this discount. So then we looked at total calories per customer, both, again, for a side dish, and this is conditional across the entire condition, so not conditional on just taking the nudge. Consumers are ordering just under 100 calories fewer. They didn't compensate by ordering higher calories. Higher calorie entrees, rather. They could say, well, I saved 200 calories then. Let me get the most expensive calorie or the highest calorie item. They didn't make that compensation. And overall, it saved about 100 calories as a result of this intervention. So we thought that was a good thing. Okay, so again, they're not spontaneously asking for less food. They're not doing it by themselves. They will downsize their meal with and without a discount, and they don't appear to be compensating. So then we said, all right, how does this compare to calorie labeling? And how does this sort of intervention interact here? So we did it again, essentially, but we did it after the college students were back in town. So again, different population, you have to keep that in mind here. Same sort of male breakdown, the estimated age here is a little bit younger, but the same sort of data that we have, their complete receipt data on all of these things. And so what do we do here? Important to keep in mind, during the middle of our experiment, by design, well, we planned our experiment around this, calorie labels were going up and staying up throughout the rest of it. So we did the same thing before. We did a few days of baseline, a few days of the nudge, a few days of baseline, calorie labels stay up, we do the same thing again. What do we find? We find that college students are a little less accepting of our offer. Only about 20% take it when we ask them. Again, the same sort of results when we're not there. Interestingly, the acceptance of the nudge went down a bit after labels went up. And so, you know, this is statistically significant. It's hard to know if this is resultant from the labels, but it arguably could be. One potential is that, you know, we were thinking once consumers are seeing how many calories in this stuff, they may be more likely to take us up on the offer. It could be that they're saying, wow, there's that many calories in my meal already. What's this 200 really going to save me? So we don't know that. Just two potential hypotheses there. But consumers are still taking it. About 15% of consumers are still taking it after labels go up. So again, this is the pre-labeling period here, this is the post-labeling period, a similar sort of story, a slightly smaller effect because fewer people are taking the nudge, but they're still saving calories in the pre-labeling condition. You're seeing this side dish decrease in the post-labeling condition, but in fact we don't see any result of the nudge here overall after labels go up, largely we think because so few people are actually taking it there. I just said that. So we did a third study as well, just to say, well, they're ordering less, but are the people who are taking us up on this nudge really just leaving a lot of food on their plate anyway, right? We have a lot of evidence to say this won't be the case, but we wanted to do this as well. And so as they were leaving, we said, you know, sorry, after they ordered and got their food, they said, come back, we're gonna do a quick survey, we'll give you $10. We said, bring your leftovers to us. We didn't tell them why. We ended up weighing their leftovers. And keep in mind, those in the baseline condition, those in the nudge condition, it should say, started with less food. But what we found is that both conditions left really nothing. Almost everyone ate everything on their plate. And so this leads us to believe they're not just ordering less, but they're actually eating less too when they take us up on the nudge. So good things and bad things about this study. It's a field experiment that's really good. We had some objective measures of purchasing. We later on have some relatively objective measures of what people are eating as well. And I think this is also good because we really get to look at the relative influence of two potential interventions, something about the nudge here and something about calorie labeling overall. You know, some questions about external validity, how is this going to play out elsewhere, something of a selected sample, particularly with college students at this one fast food restaurant, but I think interesting nonetheless. So some conclusions. So we found that this nudge or encouragement to self-control or to moderate portion size really did have an influence on food choice and consumption. Calorie labeling in this case didn't. I should have also pointed out more directly, we didn't notice any influence of calorie labeling in the pre-post period without just looking at the baseline, without looking at the nudge conditions as well. That was buried in there, but I didn't make that point. We didn't actually notice any influence of labeling there. You know, labeling didn't improve the influence of the nudge, arguably made it a little worse as to how consumers were taking up this nudge. nudge afterwards. And we're doing a little more work to see, you know, maybe we need to think about targeting portion size a little bit more here. And I think that's, in some respects, what labeling was supposed to do, and for many people does, right? They go in, they see that a large fry is so many calories, maybe they decrease to the small, or the same thing with a large soda and a small soda, but maybe this is going to be a potential target here in other realms. And maybe this idea of somehow looking at to target self-control is going to be important as well. And maybe we need to look aside from policy interventions that are multifaceted and don't just target this information provision, right? It's an important piece, but it probably isn't going to be enough on its own. And so maybe we need to look at some changes in defaults when you order. You go in, you're automatically going to get the small instead of the large. You're automatically going to get the healthier side dish than the non-healthier side dish. This doesn't require the consumer actively making a choice, or other sorts of nudges like that that might have an influence on a larger scale. That's it. Great. So we have time for questions. Here, yeah. Yep. The question is, did we look at gender differences? We had a lot of men. We did. Women took it up more. Women were more likely to take up the nudge than men. Yeah. Jim. Yeah, two questions. One about what's the incentive for the restaurant to take this up, and two, what about potentially regulating portion size? So this we were intrigued. So a lot of my colleagues are marketing folks on here, so they're very interested in how the business side interacts with this. And in this case, it's a pretty low-cost intervention to them, and arguably could be cost savings, right? Now, of course, the margin on that extra scoop of rice is exceedingly small. Right, so we're cognizant of that, but particularly when you look at it, didn't get better or worse with offering a financial incentive. You know, arguably the restaurant might have something of an incentive, or at least not a disincentive to do something like this. What about potentially regulating? So I think that's a really interesting point, and that's one thing that we're teasing out in the policy implications of this paper. Because if this works, it's a great intervention, and how do you roll it out, right? And so I think we're really going to need to look at some interesting legislation. You haven't seen federal, state, or city health departments that have looked to doing something like this yet on a larger scale, but I think, and you can probably speak to this even more, is something that I think could have a larger influence, or at least portion size on defaults and things like that. Thanks. At the back. It's a great question. The question was around, are people who are more or less obese or obese versus not more or less receptive to these sorts of interventions? That's not something we could tease out well in this study, but I think it's exactly the right approach, right? And so we've seen other interventions that when you look at them across the board, they look like they're not effective, but when you look at the subgroup that actually needs it, they are. And so I think it's a really important thing to look at here. Please. So the question is, how do we tease out the psychology of what's going on there? Yeah, so that's a good question, and what we're planning to do. So we did some surveys a bit as well in that third study in the Exxon interview, and so we asked some people some questions about why they did it, and most people told us they did it because they wanted to save calories. So that's something, it doesn't get it out. But I think what a lot of my collaborators would like to do is take some of this work into the lab and try to do some things there to try to really get at, is this, are we priming self-control, and are they taking that up, or is this really just a You're altering my script that usually happens when I go in and I order at a fast food restaurant, and that sort of startles me, and I'm like, sure, why not? And so I think we're going to do a little more work to tease out, but I think those are the two most likely scenarios. Yes. Yes, it was both of those things with the addition of the incentive. Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, are we looking at how the script might play out in different demographic groups? So I would love to get access to every store in the world and do these studies. It's not the easiest thing to do, but we are talking to a couple other places that might let us do a couple things. And our prior work has looked at, in labeling and others, has looked particularly at these low-income groups. So it's something we'd love to do, but we haven't done it with this sort of work yet. Yeah.
So I'm just wondering how this might play out in different styles of fast food restaurants. I'm just thinking about places that have, like Subway that has like prepackaged chips or something like that. Yeah. Or even, I'm guessing at a burger chain, you do have sizes of fries or something like that. So I'm sure you've thought of that already.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's how might this play out at other types of fast food restaurants that have prepackaged items or that have different sizes of things. So I think it's harder to do at those places. I think this is an easier way to do it because most people arguably don't necessarily come to these particular fast food places for the rice, right? Most of them are coming for the larger side dishes. So we're not taking away what they really love or might be driven to. And just the layout and the flow of the ordering made it really natural. But I don't think it makes it impossible at a lot of these other places, right? Particularly things like, you know, by far the modal order at any sort of burger joint is a burger and fries, right? And so you have some bigger interventions there on the fries. You have a potential point of intervention on the size of the soda and maybe even on the size of the burger as well. So I think it can happen at some of these other places, but it might be a little more difficult. Yeah.
What about the packaging? So perhaps, you know, you were talking about when you weigh everything and everyone ate the same amount.
Yep.
The leaving thing. That has to do obviously with the psychology of leaving your plate empty or eating everything that's in there. Mm-hmm. If you were to reduce the container, would that, you know, decrease the number of calories?
So we know in other work that container size matters hugely here, and whether you're putting a lot of food on a small plate or a big plate, and so you can imagine something like that happening here. Or I think more potentially appropriate for some of this work is automatically packaging up half of it, right, or something along those lines. And so that clearly does have some increased cost to it for the fast food industry. So that's something that they likely aren't going to do voluntarily. But I think you can imagine some more creative types of packaging things that make certain foods easier to get to or place them differently within the store. We're doing some of that work elsewhere in bodegas and things like that. You know, what happens when you place the healthier foods closer? And all of that work, I think, can be combined in a larger way to see something that's bigger than just the sum of its parts. Thanks.